Thank you. Thank you, Summer. It's quite amazing to be up here. 3 months ago, I wasn't looking at this at all. So my sermon is really about how I'm standing here right now. And when Jim Webb was here, he had mentioned about inner storm, which clears and rejuvenates. And that's what I was having last winter. It was not good. I think a lot of releasing was going on. Which, since being here, the good thing about it for me is that that's how I view whatever comes up. That it's releasing rather than self-pitying. And it doesn't really move anywhere. It just stays, it goes away, it comes back. So this is all releasing. So winter was just not good. It was very, with the way the weather was, that's how I felt, personally. So this sermon, I like to give it a title, and it's quite relevant. It's called From Soundboard to Sermon. And it's a very brief walk from there to here, but it's a huge walk spiritually from there to here, which now I am... maybe not completed, but have started another part of it. And so this is all about a few days that happened at the end of February. And I was in therapy at the time. I'd been in and out of therapy when I needed it. And I had run into Alicia out in the parking lot. And she said, "Oh, how are things going?" And I filled her in on my winter. And she said, she offered me to do this thing she does called timeline regression. And... take you back to your past, where maybe the source of something is, and you kind of rewrite it for how you wished it could have been. So she came over to my house, and we did this, and pretty much we did. She said, "Well, for me, the big issue was feeling unworthy. It's just something that's always there for whatever reason." And she said, "Where do you think it started?" I said, "When I was born." And just, I think it goes back to that. And it's not that my parents didn't love me. I know they did. And they did the best they could. And I think recently that's what I've come to finally grasp. Because I don't have kids of my own, so I haven't gone through it learning it that way. So we went back and we went to birth. And she just had me imagine what, kind of rewriting my birth, and just an image just popped into my head, and I was quite surprised by it. So I did whatever I needed to do with that image and have it be loving. And I think the unworthiness comes from unconscious messages I would get from both my parents. So it's nothing that was done intentionally. There was always love there, but there was also the maybe the conditional love that they got, that they unknowingly were passing to me. So I rewrote it, and with Alicia's help. But I was surprised at how it just happened. It just, I wasn't really writing it, it felt like. It was just kind of happening. And we did that, and then we went to another age, ended up being 1.5. And the image I thought, I have my immediate family is mother, father, me, and my older brother. And the image I had was, it needed to be a family image. So I said, "Well, a kitchen table. Okay, that's perfect. Whole family's there." So all of a sudden, there we all were, eating. My mother's feeding me. Brother's there, father's there. And so I said, "Well, I need, where the unworthiness comes in is there needs to be some sort of conflict. Something that comes in, then messages get passed that way." So I said, "Okay, I need some conflict." And all of a sudden in the image, I threw up. And I said, "Perfect. This is perfect. It's something that happens, but it can, a whole lot of reactions can happen out of it." So in the way I was rewriting it, my mother just said, "Oh, Dave's thrown up. Take care of this." And says to my father, said, "Bob, can you get me a paper towel?" He's like, "Sure thing." Gets up and does it. Actually, he came into the vision. The first vision, I'm trying to remember. I felt, well, I needed to kind of have my dad do something. My mother was there feeding me, so there was some love there. So I need my dad to do something. All of a sudden, he comes back into the vision, and he's the one who wipes my mouth. My brother comes in. I said, oh, I need something to do with my brother. He's 7 at this point. So he says, Mom, is there anything I can do? And she's like, no, you go back to eat. And but he still wanted to do something. So he, out of nowhere, just kind of, he hit my nose. He's kind of like, boop. And I thought that was perfect because he's helping. So he's attracting my attention while my father can clean me without me fussing about it. So everybody, it was all a very loving image. And that was great. And interestingly enough, that night I had a dream with Alicia. And we were in a record store. And I always had a problem in real life with my birthdays. Like the first 10 birthdays, I was told I cried every time they sang happy birthday. I really don't remember it that much, but I think that unworthiness was kind of tied into it. So we were in a record store, and something about somebody was getting a birthday cake for somebody else. And I handed... I had a crumpled up piece of paper, and I handed it to Alicia. She opened it, and it's this David Bowie album cover called Let's Dance. And I didn't know what that meant. But what ended up happening in the dream is the person, it was a daughter and a mother who were there to get a cake for the daughter. At some point, Alicia and I became these people. So she was the mother, I was still myself, but I was in the daughter's place. And I was okay with getting a cake. Didn't cause me any concern or anything. And when I told Alicia about this dream the next day, because we had healing, I knew Let's Dance had to be something, but I didn't know what. And I told her, and she just looked at me, and she goes, shut up. She goes, I say Let's Dance all the time in terms of, all right, let's go, let's move on this. And I had no idea that that's what it was. So that was really amazing to me that came through. But that timeline regression seemed to pull the cork on, that really pulled the cork on me being here right now. And I started to read a book that was recommended to me called The Presence Process by Michael Brown. And I didn't realize it when I started reading it, but it was like a series of, like you meditate for 10 weeks with certain phrases for each week. And I just started my 10th week. And I've never been able to meditate for any long period consecutive. And I think with the healing I had with Alicia, I knew I was ready to read this book. And then when I saw, oh, it's, wow, 10 weeks of meditation twice a day, 15 minutes day and night, I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And I haven't missed one. And there was one time I was really sick. That time, actually, when I was here, and I had eaten some bad fish. And I went home and went to bed, and I woke up, and I knew I woke up because it was like about 11:30. And I said, I haven't meditated. I know I'll give myself a pass on this. I said, no, and I slid out of bed, and I did it. And it wasn't the highest quality meditation, but I did it. So that was great. So the next day, Thursday, with the healing, and I got euphoric. And I was at home, and I remember Connie saying something. I had heard her say that next Sunday she didn't have anyone to do the service. And so I just started writing really what became this sermon, and I sent an email to Stanley. I said, tell Connie if she doesn't have someone to do the service on Sunday, I'll do it. And it was like just how high I was feeling. I was like, not nervous. I'm like, I'll do it. I was going to say, blah, blah, blah. And I was just so up. And I went to bed and woke up the next morning. And it's kind of like drinking too much the night before. You wake up and you're like, oh, what did I do? Because I woke up and I remembered the student service, and I'm like, oh, there's a hierarchy. That's right. I have to go through this to get to there. But before Thursday, I hadn't ever thought of being here. So Spirit saw this window of opportunity and pushed me through it and said, you're not coming back because I'm going to close the window. Okay, you're out there and you're going to make this commitment and you're going to follow it through. And so that had happened. And I didn't hear from Connie because she was busy that weekend. So I didn't get an email back. And that led me on Friday. I was at work and I felt a lot of shame all day where I overstepped my bounds. I'm sure everyone has had that problem, the issue of you feel bad about something and you wonder how the person is responding. You kind of create it, and it makes you feel worse. And all I could see was just Connie saying, well, we do things this way. Where did you get the balls to say do this, you know? But of course, that's not what happened at all. But it was interesting just as I went through a whole day of it. I was kind of up really high and then down totally the other end and got to feel both sides of it. And it was Saturday was the day I realized what Friday was all about. So Sunday I come in and I was going to talk to, Connie had talked to me beforehand and said, I didn't get a chance to respond to your email, I've been busy. So we were going to talk afterwards. And her sermon, I wondered, the main question I had for her was if she wanted me to do this or if I still wanted to do this sermon, my question was, is it spiritual enough? Because I, in looking over it, not quite as euphoric as when I wrote it, I wondered, well, does this fit the bill? And I did think, well, we're all a part of God, God's part of us, so anything that happens has a spiritual bent to it. And really, I kind of felt like this whole sermon was more like a miracle moment. So Connie and I talked and went through the whole week. It was her sermon where she answered that question. I hadn't asked it of her yet. But in her sermon, she said about being an inspirational speaker. And I was back there at the soundboard, and I went, there I am. That's me. I said, okay. I can more okay with where I would fit in if I ended up doing this. So we talked about it, and she says, no, I think that's fine. She says, I can put you on in May. How about that? I said, all right. So here it is, 2.5 months later, and you commit to something, and you're like, well, that's a long way away. I don't have to worry about it. I had the majority of this stuff written down. And I could tweak it as I go along, as I thought about it. And then, and it finally got here. And I was like, huh, it's finally here. That's good. Let's kind of do this. And kind of have to, like, let's do it and get it done. But also kind of like, well, yeah, let's dance. Exactly what Alicia said. Yeah, let's do this. Let's dance. Because I still believed in this. And one thing I wrote when I was in my euphoria was I wanted to write something that kind of summed up how I felt. And so this is what came out. Although after I wrote it, I kind of realized it was about, that was one thing, when Alicia was over and I was in therapy, I had this thought come through as we were doing this, and it was weird. It kind of felt like it went from the left part of my head down. It was just like it went, and it was, I don't think I need therapy anymore. And that actually, I ended up canceling the next appointment and just said, I think I'm fine. And I haven't regretted it at all. So what I wrote was about therapy versus energy healing. So this is it. Shovel till your mind's content, but don't put the shovel away, for you will need it soon enough. Garden till your heart's content, and you will never need the shovel again. And I thought that really summed it up. Because therapy is great, but for me, when I realized it only got me so far. Being here, it kind of removed any block or partition that's there, that's kind of accepted in therapy. This just removed it, and it was where I wanted to go all along. But it was nice to have that happen at the same time. So, oh, I don't need this anymore. And so the last thing I want to say was something I'd written 5 years ago, so before I came here. And I've written songs before, and these were the lyrics to one of the last things I had written a while ago. And when I look at these words now, I realize it was about what's happening to me now. The name of it was called Knock 'em Higher. Or knock them higher, knock 'em higher. See your feet, we're going to knock 'em higher. See your eyes, they will soon inspire. See your hands, they're going to make you over. See yourself standing on your shoulders. And that I see as what's happening to me right now. So thank you for allowing me to serve.